Busy TV.
Good morning, everyone. I'm going to tell you something today that will sound shocking at first, and you would be tempted not even to believe me until I explain it to you. And then you will go, yeah, that makes complete sense. Well, Zender does make sense for a living. What possibly could have caused me to doubt that? Welcome to MZTV. The shocking thing I'm going to say to you today is that everything you do is out of self-interest. Everything. Not one thing you do, no matter how much you try to pretend it's not this way, or how much moral preening you do, how much virtue signaling you might project. Everything you do in order to satisfy yourself. And this, some people might call it the ego, this is implanted in you by God. And once you accept this as the way things are, and I'm going to show you evidence in Scripture where even Jesus Christ thought this way. Once you accept this, life will be a lot easier for you. You'll be able to enjoy life more. You'll be able to stop second-guessing yourself all the time, wondering, am I doing what God wants? Is God pleased with me? Am I being sacrificial enough? Am I doing enough for other people? These thoughts tend to torture people. Even members of the body of Christ, always second-guessing themselves, analyzing themselves. In fact, I read a statement by A.E. Nock. And he said that he has more confidence for all the work this man did in the Scriptures, translated the Concordant Literal New Testament, so many great expositions, everything this man did was so great and helpful to the body of Christ, and he got so much praise for it, so much thanks, that he started to wonder if maybe he was doing it for the wrong motives. So he started questioning his motives. And the quote from him was, he said, I have more confidence in a reward from God for those days as a child when I was sweeping out the church, taking a broom to the floor of the church. I have more confidence in a reward, in getting a reward for that, than all the work I've done in the Scriptures since. Why? Well, because the work he did in the Scriptures later was so epic, so noteworthy, so worthy of praise, that, and he felt so good about doing it, that he suspected that maybe my motives are all wrong. Maybe I'm doing this to serve myself. Maybe I really don't have the good of others foremost in my mind. This is a trick of Satan. Because as soon as you realize what I'm telling you, you will stop second-guessing yourself. You will enjoy life more. And you will not fall into the disgusting thing called the martyr syndrome. And that is, just realize that everything is in self-interest. You do everything to please yourself first, whether you realize it or not. Take a simple saying such as in Acts 20:35. Okay, I got to give you scriptural proof for this. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It's more what? It's more blessed to give than to receive. In other words, giving feels better to you than receiving. And so even when you're giving, you're doing something for yourself, that is, you're blessing yourself. And something in your subconscious knows that that's true. And the first temptation of Satan is for you to condemn yourself for thinking of yourself. But this is called self-interest, and it's much different than selfishness. Selfishness is that you have no mind to help other people. You don't think about being a blessing to others. It's a whole different category. Another way to describe that category is the martyr syndrome. Another, and it's really a personality disorder. In modern psychiatric terms, we call it codependency, when a person has no sense of self whatsoever, and they're constantly surrendering themselves to do things for others, but they're doing it in order to bolster their own self worth. In other words, while appearing on the surface to be sacrificial, to be martyristic, no, it's all done for the person, because in order to love themselves, they have to have other people. They can't love themselves, so they really need other people to love them. Desperately need other people to love them. In order to get other people to love them, they constantly do things for other people. And on the surface, it looks like, oh, look at how altruistic that person is. Look at how good and how pure and how they do things for everybody else. But no, they're really not doing it for everybody else. They're doing it for themselves. And they don't realize that. They think it's a terrible sin. And so they're conflicted all the time. And it's a miserable existence. It is said that codependent people never truly love anyone because it's all directed at self. This indeed is selfishness, not self-interest. And I think that when you understand that self-interest is given to you by God, then you won't fall into this trap, the trap of martyrdom, where you just drag yourself through life miserable because you live for others and you afflict yourself. You want to be seen as self-sacrificing. But it's not self-sacrificing, it's selfishness. Even Mother Teresa came to this realization. She finally admitted later in her life in an interview that was published in Time magazine that she did not want to be published. It was published after her death. She said she basically hated herself and she had no assurance that God even loved her, because she recognized in the end that everything she did was for herself. But when you realize that this self-interest is implanted in you by God, you'll stop playing games with yourself. You'll stop thinking that anything you do is anything other than making yourself feel good. You're telling me, Martin, you can't possibly say that Jesus Christ was of this disposition. Oh, yes, he was. I'll give you two verses. The first one I've told you many times, Hebrews 12, verse 2. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Now, we think of Christ going to the cross. He's in total agony, of course. He's afflicted of soul, of spirit, yes, of course. But he did it for the joy set before him. It was joyful for him to give himself to the cross. Self-interest again. John chapter 4, verses 31 through 34. This is the account of the woman at the well. Jesus encounters a woman at the well who recognizes him as the Messiah. It thrills him to death that someone recognizes him. This anonymous woman of the lower strata of the social ladder. So while Jesus is talking to this woman, his disciples are out getting food for lunch. They come back and they see him hanging out with this woman. Now the disciples said to him, Rabbi, eat. He said to them, I have food to eat of which you are not aware. The disciples then said to one another, no one brings him anything to eat, do they? Did you see anybody bring him lunch? Did he call Uber Eats while we were gone? Then here's the money verse, verse 34, John chapter 4. Jesus is saying to them, my food is that I should be doing the will of him who sends me and should be perfecting his work. My food. Folks, we all know how fun it is and how good it feels to eat. Why do we eat?
Well, I only eat to sustain my body.
No, come on. You eat because it feels good to eat. Okay, let's say you say that you eat to sustain your body. Well, doesn't it feel good to sustain your body? Doesn't it feel good to you that you're doing something for you? So don't come off all martyr-like, like, I run 10 miles a day, and I try to eat right, like you're some kind of sacrificial lamb. No, you're doing it because it makes you feel better to do that than if you did nothing. It makes you feel good to sacrifice. It made Jesus feel good to sacrifice. It was his food. It sustained him. We always think of Jesus saying, not my will, but thine be done. It's not about me. It's about you, Father, my joy. And there you go. There, that's contact with the truth there. His joy, his happiness, his blessedness was to do the Father's will. So it came down to what he wanted. It was better for him to do the Father's will than to not do the Father's will. So in a way, it was selfish for him. It was in his self-interest, not selfish, because that's a negative term. It was in his self-interest, his joy, his food, to do the Father's will. It made him happier, made him happier to do the Father's will than if he did not do the Father's will. This is all wrapped up in the verse, love your associate, or the King James says, love your neighbor as yourself. There you go. As yourself. What do you see in there? Self-interest. Mark Twain wrote an amazing article. It was an essay actually called What is Man? In fact, I've linked down here to you the article. You can download it and read it free as a PDF file. And in this essay, Mark Twain makes the claim that everything people do, they do for their self-interest. And he found this as a truth of God, but it so clashes with the religious world of how you're supposed to give up yourself, how you're supposed to be this miserable person, how you're supposed to be just dragging yourself through life, giving everything of yourself away. I'm not talking about giving away your goods, giving away your clothes to the poor. No, that's fine because it makes you feel good. But giving away your own happiness in life because you think you're doing things for other people. But again, that is called codependency. Codependency is a personality disorder where people give up any sense they have of self, any healthy sense they have of self-interest. They give themselves away, not in a good sense, but in a completely negative sense. And it's ultimately the ultimate selfishness because it's all about them getting back in order to fill an empty love tank. Your love tank has to be full. You have to love yourself before you can love others. You cannot love others unless you love yourself. So read this article. It's very interesting. One of the points Mark Twain makes there, and he's presenting this essay in the form of a conversation between an old man and a young man. And the young man is trying to say that, no, people really do things totally sacrificially, totally out of a disregard for self and a desire to please others. And the old man says, no, you can't give me one example. And the young man says, well, surely when men go to war, they're doing something they don't want to do. They're doing something that does not please them. They're giving themselves for a greater cause to protect home and heartland. And the old man says, no, it ultimately pleases them to go to war because it would be worse if they didn't go to war. If they didn't go to war, they would feel like I'm shirking my responsibility, I'm a loser, I'm not patriotic, or whatever. And so going to war pleases self more than not going to war. As bad as war is, it's an honor to serve. It's an honor. Honor? Wait a minute. That word kind of directs back to self. Yes, it does. Even Paul says, honor to whom honor is due. So this martyristic, pseudo-altruistic, sacrificial preening, this virtue signaling, it's ugly. Forget it. Get rid of all that. You're not doing anything except what is in your self-interest. There's a young man that writes me a lot. His name is Keith. He watches this show, and he's always wringing his hands over the fact that he's afraid he's enjoying life too much. He's afraid that because he has hobbies, because he has things he likes to do, that therefore he's not giving his all to Christ, that therefore he's not really in the body of Christ. He thinks he's not even in the body of Christ. Why would he possibly think that? Because he has hobbies, because he's enjoying life. He wonders why he's not suffering enough. kid. God will bring you the suffering that you need. Don't go out looking for it. If you're living a good life, if you're happy, then rejoice for God's sake. And I hope this will help people like Keith. I really do. Who think that it's somehow wrong to have your self-interest in mind. It's not. It's a God-given trait. It's a God-given necessity. The ego is God-given in order to keep you going in life, in order to fuel you so that you will be able to love other people. So I'll close with a reminder of the verse. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Our Lord himself lived this. My food is to give. My food. I have food. The disciples came bringing him hamburgers, you know, French fries, maybe a chocolate milkshake. It's all fun to eat. It's even fun to eat healthy foods. Yeah, I like raisins and apples. It's fun to eat healthy food. It's sustaining to the what? To the body and the soul. And so for our Lord and Savior, it was sustaining to his soul to do his Father's will. And for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. So none of us are martyrs. None of us are truly altruistic. In fact, to love yourself is altruistic. To love yourself is a wonderful thing to do, because God doesn't make junk. God made you. And he's given us all things to enjoy. And even serving him is enjoyment to us. Even giving to other people and taking away from ourselves, giving things that we want to other people, that brings joy to us. And that's always our primary interest, is self. It's always that way. And there's no exceptions. So once you realize that, I think you'll be able to take a deep breath, live life more fully, live a life of less worry, stop constantly analyzing yourself and criticizing yourself and wringing your hands, wondering if you're too selfish. Oh my God, I'm so selfish. If I try to do things, shut up. Shut up with that, okay? You're thinking much too highly of yourself. Now see, the people who think they're actually giving up themselves, they're actually the ones thinking too highly of themselves. The codependent people who think they're so noble and giving to others, you're serving yourself to a pathological degree. Once you realize that you're serving yourself to a healthy degree and that this is given to you by God, it will keep you from becoming the martyr in the room. The one who wants everybody to think that they're sacrificing everything. Bullcrap. You're not. Get over yourself.